Sophie O'Neill thought trading her fast-paced Chicago magazine career for the pine-scented tranquility of East Texas would bring simplicity to her life. A charming fixer-upper home, more time with her young son Jack, and space to cultivate her lifestyle blog seemed like the perfect recipe for domestic bliss. Yet beneath her carefully curated Instagram posts of homemade yogurt and garden herbs lurks a familiar restlessness that no amount of small-town charm can satisfy. Everything changes when Sophie receives a Facebook friend request acceptance from Margot Banks, socialite wife of oil heir Jed Banks and the most fascinating woman in Mapleton. Unlike the other women in Margot's orbit who flash giddy grins in photos, Margot wears her signature irreverent smirk, exuding an aura of dangerous sophistication that Sophie finds irresistible. When they finally meet at a lavish garden party, Margot's candy apple red lips, heavy-lidded smoky gray eyes, and perfectly styled raven hair embody everything Sophie's life lacks: excitement, danger, and unpredictability. The invitation to join Margot's exclusive shooting club comes unexpectedly. Every Friday night, the hunting wives, Margot, stern-faced Callie, perfectly put together Jill, and quiet observer Tina, gather at Margot's secluded lake house to shoot skeet, drink expensive liquor, and later hunt men at a local honky-tonk. The rules are simple: use first names only, and don't go all the way. But rules, as Sophie will discover, are made to be broken, with deadly consequences. Sophie recognizes her growing preoccupation with Margot represents an unhealthy behavioral pattern, consistent with her tendency towards self-destructive choices. Her interest leads her to conduct casual surveillance, using indirect means to observe Margot's upscale residence. She develops an intense focus on Margot's social media presence, analyzing every detail of her carefully curated lifestyle. During their shooting lessons, Sophie experiences a heightened awareness of their physical proximity as Margot provides instruction on proper technique. The professional interaction is marked by Margot's signature perfume and distinctive jewelry. Despite being new to the sport, Sophie successfully hits her target, earning group approval, though Callie remains notably reserved. Sophie's involvement with the social circle deepens, leading to concerning choices. Providing misleading information to Graham about her activities, spending increasing time with the hunting group, and engaging in inappropriate interactions with Jamie, a minor. When Margot suggests a private meeting at the lake, Sophie accepts without hesitation. The encounter involves personal questions about Graham and a request for assistance that creates an intimate dynamic, which ends abruptly with unexpected arrivals. The hunting wives' world collapses when Abby Wilson, Brad's teenage girlfriend, goes missing. Sophie recalls seeing a threatening message from Margot to Brad. The situation worsens when Abby's remains are found at the group's shooting range on Margot's property. The autopsy reveals Abby was pregnant, focusing investigators on Brad. Sophie becomes entangled in escalating lies, unable to tell Graham about her involvement. Her fingerprints on the murder weapon intensify the case. Media sensationalizes the story, casting suspicion on Sophie. Feeling betrayed, Graham asks her to leave temporarily. Their son Jack adapts well, treating his two homes as an adventure. Desperate for answers, Sophie confronts Margot at her lakeside home. The encounter turns threatening when another member appears armed. After they leave, Margot offers Sophie what seems to be a drugged drink. Through growing disorientation, Sophie begins piecing together the truth. The situation worsens when Margot is found dead near her dock with signs of struggle, with testimony placing Sophie at the scene. Determined to clear her name, Sophie investigates independently. Jamie reveals Brad had pressured Abby to abort and told Margot about the pregnancy. At a Dallas abortion clinic, a receptionist recognizes Abby's photo, describing her arrival with two women, one silent and one extremely pushy. She identifies Callie and believes the disguised second woman was Margot. Sophie alerts Detective Flynn about potential security footage. The footage reveals a shocking truth. The second woman wasn't Margot, but Jill, Brad's mother. Later, trapped on a boat with Jill, Sophie learns the truth. Jill confesses to drowning Margot and killing Abby when she threatened to reveal the pregnancy. "I never intended to frame you," Jill tells Sophie. "I wanted Margot to go down for it because she'd been messing with my son for far too long." As Jill prepares to make Sophie her third victim, sirens approach. Sophie had texted Flynn their location. Callie appears with a shotgun and holds Jill until Flynn arrives. The Hunting Wives explores toxic female friendships and the longing for belonging. Sophie's attraction to Margot stems from seeking validation from someone with social power, a common dynamic in unbalanced relationships. The shooting club meetings evolve into psychological battlegrounds of unspoken competition. Callie's jealousy when Margot favors Sophie manifests as subtle sabotage and backhanded compliments, while Tina passively observes the growing dysfunction. Sophie's relationship with Aaron represents a healthier alternative based on genuine care. Aaron's warning that Margot Banks is not a nice person demonstrates true friendship's protective nature. Through honest conversations, Aaron offers Sophie an anchor to authenticity, making Sophie's rejection of this lifeline particularly tragic. The novel portrays female friendships as both salvation and destruction. Callie helps frame Sophie for murder out of loyalty to Margot, yet ultimately saves her life, reflecting how women's relationships can inflict profound harm yet provide extraordinary protection. Sophie's move to Mapleton represents her attempt to reinvent herself as the perfect wife and mother, a lifestyle blogger creating content about homemade yogurt and Easter crafts. Yet beneath this carefully constructed identity lurks the same restless woman who nearly had an affair with a painter she'd profiled. "Moving to Mapleton was partly to become a more wholesome version of myself," Sophie admits, "but I've discovered you can't outrun who you are. My darker urges followed me here and are even more amplified by the quiet small-town life." This tension between Sophie's aspirational and actual self drives the novel's psychological drama. Her rootless childhood left her craving stability while being attracted to chaos. Graham represents the safe harbor she consciously wants, while Margot embodies the dangerous waters she unconsciously craves. The novel suggests true reinvention requires confronting core wounds rather than changing external circumstances. Sophie's hope comes from facing patterns that led her to risk everything for someone who betrayed her. 2 months post-arrest, Sophie rebuilds her life while Graham lives separately. Detective Flynn confirms Jill's confession closed the case. Sophie remains fixated on Margot, questioning whether their connection was genuine or calculated manipulation. "I see a therapist twice weekly," Sophie tells Flynn. "We're examining why I risked everything for someone who might have been manipulating me." In her garden, Sophie nurtures new growth, tomatoes, peas, and herbs emerging from soil. She's unsure if she'll stay for harvest or if Graham will invite her home. Family dinners continue, though with careful conversation. While the future remains uncertain, Sophie now faces her demons instead of fleeing them, learning that healing requires patience and faith that beauty can emerge from broken ground. What's truly haunting about The Hunting Wives isn't the murders, but how it mirrors our desires for excitement and belonging. Sophie's journey reveals that the most dangerous predators hunt with charm, exploiting our deepest vulnerabilities.